Good morning, church. How are we feeling? Good morning. Good morning. I was actually just talking with Pastor Larrick. Just the random thought that came to mind is Easter Sunday, typically the most attended Sunday morning of the year in church. And the week after Easter is the least attended Sunday morning every year in church. It's just a trend that we constantly see. A couple of housekeeping things really quick. We are in a time of transition. Right, so things might feel a little different for a minute. It'll take us a second to kind of get all on the same wavelength, but we will get there. One way that is going to help me immensely communicate and keep everybody on the same page is if I can get everybody's name, number, email, address, so that I can get you in our communication system so that I can send out emails and text messages, things like that, just to kind of keep us on the same page. There are some, I noticed, connection cards. There's like little ones there on the podium. I think there's some over there on the table that actually ask for that information. If you guys could just fill that out and even just drop it in the offering plate for me if you haven't already. Some people have filled out the form because I texted it out. So some people did get a text message to fill out that form. If you did that already, I don't need your information again. But if you have not filled out a form, that is going to be really helpful. Okay, next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be Celebration Sunday and Hot Dog Sunday, right? So we get the hot dogs out. I don't know if he's grilling them, rolling them, boiling them, whatever. A hot dog is good no matter how you put it out there. And so we'll have hot dogs next week, celebrate. But also, we want to take the time to really celebrate the sanctuary, really celebrate the legacy of Sanctuary First Baptist Church. So if you have a story you want to share, if you have pictures that you'd like to share, anything like that, please email or text that to Pastor Larrick or the Gusses or anybody who can get that to us. We'll be sure, like next week, we want to be sure to celebrate well and eat the healthiest food that Americans offer, and that's a hot dog. So we're really excited for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Also, two Sundays from now, so we have Celebration Sunday next Sunday, then the Sunday after that, the Foundation Church wants to invite you guys to come worship for a Sunday with them. It's a good opportunity to kind of see where I'm coming from and to see the church that is sending us. Right, that is helping us launch. And so that's a great opportunity just to see some of the DNA that's coming together to help form 242 Church. Not that we're going to look and be just like the Foundation Church. We're in Sandusky. They're in Norwalk. Right, so ministries will look a little bit different, but I think it would be good for our family to go and see kind of where we're coming from. Does that make sense? So on the 26th, if you can, please, we won't formally meet here that Sunday. We'll be meeting at Foundation Church and worshiping with with the family there. All right, great ministries. They're going to love to welcome you in with open arms. And when you tell them what's going on and why you're there, they're going to be so excited. So please, if you can, mark that off. I know it's a little bit of a drive, but mark that off and let's do that together. They have a 9 a.m. service and a 10:30 service. Most of my people will probably go to the 10:30 service. So kind of keep that in mind as we go as well. But for today, I really want to dive in to a topic that's super important, and that's the power of prayer. The power of prayer. So let me just pray, and then we'll dive into this message, all right? Father, we love you, and we thank you for all you've done, but most of all for your Son. And God, we just ask that you meet us, God, that you speak to us, God, that you move through us, God, that you come alive in our hearts. God, help us to focus on you. Help us not to be distracted by things outside of us, God, but help us to be solely focused on you and your mission and your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Family, I'm excited. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited. Not just excited, but I am expectant to see what the Lord is going to do through this group of people here in Sandusky. I'm extremely excited to see what the Lord is going to do here in Sandusky. And even as I was chatting with some people this morning, a lot of you guys in this room have actually lived in Sandusky longer than I have been alive. And I recognize that. Amen. And it's awesome that you've been able to be here. But one thing that I know we all can see is that this city is lost. This city is lost. Just to put it in perspective for us just a little bit, there are approximately 30,000 people in Sandusky and just like the immediate surrounding areas, right? Of those 30,000 people, roughly 40% of the population does not even go to church. So that's any church. To bring that to life just a little bit more, that's roughly 11 to 12,000 people in our backyards who never have or never will go to church. The average church in Sandusky is about 30 to 50 people. That's the average size of the church in Sandusky, and that's going to be Protestant churches specifically, all right? It averages around 30 to 50 people. So, with that in mind, and kind of doing some quick math, that means we have anywhere from 0.05 to 5% of people are in Protestant churches in Sandusky. Church, that's heavy. That is a heavy statistic to think about. Is that 5% or less of our community is involved in an evangelical church. A church that we would consider biblical. A church that we would consider preaches the gospel. 5% or less of our community. And it shows. We live in a community that celebrates sin. With Pride Week, they celebrate sin all over our city. And even our city takes it another step to where they try to make light of the spirit world, and they have a thing called the Witch's Walk, where darkness is triumphed in our city and paraded as something good. Family, this is heavy. We live in a community where now, more than ever, darkness is prevailing. The church is shrinking. Talk is censored. And our community children are learning nothing of the Lord. Family, I say this. Because if we look at the state of the world, when we look at the state of our city, it can seem impossible to fight the darkness that's before us. It could seem difficult to even try to share your faith in this community, and even more difficult to try to live out your faith in this community. And see, here's the thing, right? We can have all of the plans in the world that we want. We can have great plans. We can have all of the education. And now more than ever, we have so many resources to use for churches. So we can have a great strategy. We can have great preaching. We can have the best band in the state. We can have an amazing children's ministry. We can have all of these things, family. But without the Spirit, we're nothing. Without the Spirit, all of those things mean nothing. If the Spirit doesn't invade our worship, it means nothing. If we repeat sermon after sermon, despite how well it is communicated, it means nothing. Family, my challenge to you this morning is this. If we know that just having service, if we know that just singing songs, if we know that just doing outreach in and of itself doesn't make an eternal significance without the Spirit, what do we do to get the Spirit into our midst? What do we do to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to have Him leading us? And I would like to contend, church, that we welcome the Spirit first and foremost by having a fervent prayer life. We welcome the Spirit first and foremost by having a prayer life with fervent prayer life, which takes me to our first point today. A fervent prayer life starts with confident communication with God. A fervent prayer life starts with confident communication with God. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, it says this. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Have you guys ever met somebody, and you know what I mean when I say this, have you ever met somebody who really prays? Like, you get what I'm talking about? Like, that person that doesn't just have a prayer list, but that you know they're sitting there and they're having an intimate conversation with the Lord. We've all met those persons. Like, you can tell that they really talk to the Lord and that the Lord is really talking to them. Like, you can sense it even in your communication that their prayer life is just on a different level. And when you get to talking to these people, you see that their relationship stems specifically from that. It stems from their fervent prayer life. They are in their prayer closet, or they have a practice of meeting God at a certain time every single day. Guys, this is important. People who have that fervent prayer life are very intentional about setting time aside to be with the Lord. And many times, if I'm being honest, I ask myself, like, how do you get to the point of just fervently trusting the Lord? How do you get to the point of spending hours a day in prayer? A pastor I know once said, there's no kids here, so I can say it. A pastor I know once said that the only thing that he enjoys more than being in his prayer closet is being intimate with his wife. Family, are we at that point where the thing that we enjoy most in the world is being intimate with the Lord our God? And see, we're in the book of 1 John, and this is such a good place to go to talk about prayer, because John, being the apostle who Jesus loved, wanted to see people love Jesus more. And he writes in 1 John not to just give you a hope of eternal life, right? But to give you peace and a love that is eternal. I guess I'm by myself, because that is the goal. Not thinking of eternal life only, but of the quality of what this life could be. His goal then in this book isn't just future enjoyment, but an intimate relationship with the Son. He wants you to know Him better than you know yourself. He wants you to be devoted to the will of God in your life. And family, like John, I want to challenge you this morning. We need to know Him more. We need to seek the Father more. You have to know Him, love Him, trust Him with all your heart and mind to have that fervent prayer life. Which means that this is more than just casual church attendance. This is intentionally seeking God and His Word. This is willfully fighting sin in your life. This is looking and being different from the world. This is a life lived in surrender to the Lord, finding your will aligned with His. Family, this is suffering the judgment of the world for Christ's sake. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19 says this, "Therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Guys, when you trust the Creator, when you recognize what He has done for you, when you experience His love and know what He desires, know that He desires a relationship with you, like I know I've said before, Jesus didn't die because He had to. Jesus died because He wanted to. He died because He wanted a relationship with you. He died because He desires you. He died not simply because He loves you. He died because He likes you. Family, Jesus wants you. He wants you to be in that relationship with Him. And that is still crazy for me to think that the Creator of the world likes me. The Creator of the world wants to talk to me. The Creator of the world wants to walk with me. And when you think about this, family, I hope you cannot help but want to commune with Him. But it all comes back to trust and hope. It all comes back to trust and hope, knowing He is who He said He is, knowing He will do what He said He would do. In this confidence, you can come to Him knowing He hears you, knowing He desires what is best for you and for those around you. In this confidence, we can pray fervently to the Lord, not just generally, but specifically. And specifically for those around us, which takes me to my second point. To have a powerful prayer life, you have to have compassionate intercession for others. To have a fervent prayer life, you have to have compassionate intercession for others. The next few verses there in 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 to 17 says this, "If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, theirs is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death." Family, I'm not going to break down that whole passage. There's a lot within there. But what I do want to bring out of that passage is this. We know the Lord hears us when we are aligned with Him and praying according to His will. We know the Lord hears us when we are aligned with Him and praying according to His will. As we continue that thought, in order to have an intimate prayer life, you need to also be in prayer for others. This passage speaks of a lot. But the idea here is, how do you pray for other believers living in sin? How do you pray for other believers living in sin? This is something that's difficult, specifically in our culture. Because you hear everybody yell out, "Only God can judge me." So to even pray for somebody else in sin, to you, might feel like you're judging somebody. Right? Maybe I'm the only one. You might feel like you're gossiping, which in some cases it might be. But this is what John is talking about here. We easily pray for the lost to be saved. That's normal for most. And we as a church, we will have an emphasis on praying for the unreached people groups of the world and the lost in our community. That is super important. But something we cannot neglect is to pray for the saints around us who are living in sin. There is a way to do this, and there's a way to do this well. One thing that I say often is, if you aren't a part of their problem or a part of their solution, don't talk about it. So this is why I say this. And this is just an example. I know nothing about the ladies group, but I'm going to use you guys as an example. So this is at the ladies group, and you guys are praying on Thursday morning. What we don't do is we sit and talk about other people's sins. Right? We don't have a conversation about other people's sins. Most likely, if you're at that ladies group talking about the sin, you are not a part of the problem or a part of the solution. Their struggles should not come out of your mouth in that way. Right? But as you pray in your personal lives, you lift up people who you know are struggling. You intentionally lift up people who you know are struggling. Knowing this, we've all had points in our lives where we have struggled with certain sins. We've all had points in our lives where we have struggled with certain sins. Knowing that Scripture tells us there is no sin that is uncommon to man. So there is no sin that your brother or sister is committing that is worse really than what yours are. They all have the same punishment. We cannot judge them more harshly. The idea here is that we want to pray for their holiness. We want to pray for them to get out of that. Remembering how it felt when you were stuck in sin. Feeling like there was no way out, family. The challenge is here. How will you pray for those in your midst who are walking in sin? How will you pray for saints to make war with the flesh? Because in praying that, you are praying aligned to the will of God. You are praying, not judging. You are praying that they would walk worthier, that they would walk holy. See, we know that the Lord will correct and guide His children, but sometimes, like in Galatians chapter 6, we have to come alongside someone in prayer. We have to come alongside someone and help them pick up that cross and walk with it. Family, and it says, when you go to help them, if it's too much for you, you're then supposed to take it to the other saints so that you can surround that brother or sister in sin and help them to walk holy. Guys, this is a scriptural command. You are to step into the sins of your family and help them walk holy, not sit back and watch them live in sin. We should not be able to come to church and be comfortable in our sin. We are all welcome, but we cannot be comfortable. And family, this happens when you live in community, when you walk it out. And then my question, family, or my statement before the question is, that is why your crew matters. That's why the people that you hang out with matters. Right? I think of the paraplegic in Luke chapter 5. His struggle wasn't one of sin, but his struggle was of one that he could not do it on his own. He could not get to Jesus. But what did his friends do? His friends picked him up and they carried him across town. They still couldn't get to Jesus, and so his friends got creative. They carried him to the top of a building. Still couldn't see Jesus, so what did they do? They cut a hole in the building and they lowered him down before Jesus. And then what was Jesus' response? Because of your friend's faith, you are healed. Family, do you have friends that are fighting for your purity? Do you have family that would take you to the top of a building just to lay you at the feet of Jesus? Are you that friend for others? This is who we should be as the body. Willing to do whatever it takes to help each other live holy. And I know it was a small example, but I appreciate it so much this week when John called me. He called me simply to say, Devin, you can call me at any time. Right? He showed himself to be that friend who was willing to walk, who was willing to step into it. Guys, are we all like this for each other? Are we all like this for each other? Are we fighting for each other's purity? Are we praying for those in sin? Are we helping confront sin in people's lives? But family, I want to take a step back because before we can truly do this, in order for us to really help each other, before we can pray for each other in that way, we also have to check our own hearts. We also have to check our own hearts, which leads me to my next point. Powerful prayer starts with cleansing ourselves. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 13 say this, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. This is one of those passages that people love to use to talk about Jesus wasn't just this soft Jesus standing out there at the side. He was willing to walk into the temple and flip tables and make noise and shout. And though I do agree with the sentiment, right, Jesus isn't this hippie Jesus who's just standing there singing kumbaya waiting for you to come. I think sometimes we forget the picture of Jesus written in Revelation chapter 5 when he's coming back on a white horse with a robe that's dipped in blood and a tattoo on his thigh that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming to defeat sin. He's coming to punish sin overall. We forget about that Jesus sometimes, but that's not the point that I want to make here. The point I want to make here is look at verse chapter 13. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. My house shall be called a house
of prayer. See, Jesus walked into the synagogue expecting a house of worship, and instead he was met by salesmen. In many ways, if Jesus was to walk into our hearts, he wouldn't be met by a heart full of prayer. He would be met by salesmen. He would be met by distraction. He would be met by comforts of this world. See, we allow the comforts of this world to take up more space than God. Maybe it is our jobs or our families or our church traditions, but when Jesus comes in, what does he see? And if we are honest, when he comes into our hearts, he sees a lot of things fighting for your affections that aren't him. The question is, would you allow him to flip the tables of your heart? The question is, better asked, are you willing to flip the tables of your heart? It's springtime. And honestly, like, the spring getting here really stressed me out, if I'm being honest. Because my wife and I have been talking for a couple years, like, this is supposed to be the year that we have a garden and we grow our own vegetables, and I was supposed to build, like, these raised garden beds and get them set up in the backyard. And if you look at our backyard, it's just a mess, and I've not even started building these garden beds. Don't judge me. I'm just being honest right now. But it stresses me out because there's a lot to do when it comes to that. But what I want you to do right now is imagine a garden that was once thriving. A garden that was once beautiful, that had all of the vegetables and all of the gardens, or all of the flowers that you could think of. But it's now overrun with weeds. It's been completely overtaken. And then just imagine the gardener comes in with determination, and he comes in and he pulls out all the weeds, and he resets the space and nurtures the flowers back to bloom again. In a similar way, guys, Jesus walks into our hearts ready to uproot anything that overshadows him. It's through prayer that we invite him in to do the hard work of cleansing and restoring our faith. And this isn't an easy prayer to pray. To ask him to come in and flip the tables of our heart, to ask him to come out and pull the weeds in our heart. But family, I want to ask you, have you allowed the gardener to come in and pull the weeds of your life? Have you prayed to be able to make war with the flesh? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Psalm 86:11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Family, the point here is this. Through prayer, Christ will clean us up. He will make us right. Through this cleansing, we can have a more intimate relationship with Christ. Family, when your heart is right, your prayers become powerful. When your heart is right, your prayers become powerful. Which leads me to my last point this morning. Faith-filled prayer is power. Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 to 22. I think we made a reference to this at some point this morning. But Matthew 21, verses 18 to 22 says this. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry, this being Jesus. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. I want to start out by saying this. Jesus shows here in his response to the tree that it is not a sin to be hangry. Some of you guys will get that on the way home. Therefore, when I'm hungry, be careful what you say to me, because it's okay that I'm a little frustrated. But seriously, earlier we talked about having confidence. And having confidence and being faith-filled are just a little bit different. And here's how they're different. Being faith-filled goes beyond a, I know He can, but instead to a, I know He will. If He did it before, I know that He's going to do it again. This is faith with expectancy. For example, when my mom got cancer, I remember talking to my sister and saying, I just have peace. We knew what He could do, and we prayed over her in Jesus' name. And I don't know if any of you guys know this, but He has bound up the cancer in her body to the point where the doctors see it no more. She has been 100% healed. Now, my point is this. Not every prayer for healing gets answered. Not every prayer for things of this world gets fulfilled. He does these things for His glory. We are to pray with expectancy aligned to His will, knowing that He can. Yes, the prayer was for my mom to be healed. But my peace was not that on this side of heaven or not. My peace wasn't found in that if she was going to be healed on this side of heaven or not. My peace was found in the fact that through this, she was going to get closer to the Father. That's where my peace was found. And most don't think of eternal fruit as the purpose of prayer. This is why you look around and you can see so many churches in our community. So many churches that if Jesus, just like He saw that fig tree, walked up to it and walked into those churches, He would not see a lick of fruit. See, this is why Jesus had beef with the fig tree. It looked like a fruit tree, but when He got there, nothing. Churches appearing as if they would be houses of prayer. Instead, we see dens of thieves. And here's the thing. God has sent out a warning. I don't know if you have been paying attention to how He has been speaking through pastors and things these days, but He has more than sent out a warning to the churches. It is time to come back to the Father. And here's the thing. If you look around our country, He is separating very quickly the wheat from the chaff. You are seeing pastor after pastor being removed from their seat. You are seeing church after church shut down. And this is a good thing, family, because He is getting rid of false teachers. God is separating us out. God is setting apart a remnant for Himself. And that remnant family, that's who can pray in power. That remnant family is who can pray with expectancy because that remnant is seeking Him and not themselves. That remnant is seeking Him and not themselves. Psalm 37:4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. To delight yourself in the Lord is to say, no matter what happens here, my joy is found in Him. No matter what happens here, my joy is found in Him. So as you pray, your delight is not in how He will answer your physical desires, but how He ministers to your soul. I guess I'm by myself. We cannot allow prayer to become mundane. We cannot allow prayer to just become something that we repeat day after day and check it off our list. Prayer, family, should be a place of pure joy and rest. This should be a place that we run to and not from. Because here's the point. Until God is enough for you, nothing else will be. Until God is enough for you, nothing else will be. So church, as we come to a close today, I want to pause and ask, is Jesus enough for you? Is Jesus enough for you? Because we have to agree on that. We have to agree that Jesus is enough. And church, we cannot continue in anything until we as a church are a people devoted to prayer. Until we as a church are a people devoted to seeking out the will of the Father and not our own. So family, the question is, are you willing to let the gardener come in and pull out the weeds of your life? Are you willing to let the gardener come in and pull out the weeds of your life? And here's the next part. We aren't family going to be a people who hear God's word and don't respond. So today, I want us to do a couple things. First thing is I want us to remember that anytime God's word is spoken, it demands a response. Anytime God's word is spoken, it demands a response. And so as we talk about prayer, we're not going to leave here and not pray. We're going to do that together. right? We're going to pray for our hearts to be aligned with His. So, here's what I want us to do. I want you to get in groups of three or four right now. Before I give another directive, let's do that. Let's split up into groups of three or four. Would you guys mind joining Miss Margaret right there? Yeah. And we'll get into groups here of three or four. And here's what I'm going to do next. I'm going to have some prayer prompts that I'm going to put on the screen. We're going to pray together in your groups. I don't care if you guys have every person pray over that prayer prompt. I don't care if there's one person in the group praising that prayer prompt. But I want you guys to be together in agreement in prayer. All right? So our first prayer prompt is this. I want you to go into prayer. I want you to ask for God to align your heart with His. Pray for God to align your heart with His. Let's go ahead and take a minute and pray. As you continue in prayer, pray that God come in and He flip the tables of your heart. Pray that He pull the weeds of your heart. You are worthy. You are worthy. we continue in this, pray for the lost in our community. Pray for the lost in our community. Let's also pray for the churches in our community to stand on God's word and nothing else. Pray for the churches in our community to stand on God's word and nothing else. We continue. Let's pray for the 3.2 billion people in the world who have no access to the gospel. 3.2 billion people in the world who have no access to the gospel. Pray that God would send people and that He would use us in that mission of sending people to the unreached. Let's pray for them. Wesley family, let us pray and thank God for His continued faithfulness in our lives. Father God, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your love. God, we thank You for this church family. Father, we thank You that You've brought us this far. And Father, we also just humble ourselves before You. God, asking You to move in our lives in spirit and in truth. God, asking You to pull the weeds out of our heart that overshadow our affection for You. Father, help us to set our gaze on You, God. Help us to truly be delighted in Your ways. God, lead us in that. God, help us to be a church that prays. Help us to be a church devoted to prayer. Help us to be a church that is intentional to seeking Your Spirit, not moving if You don't say move. Father, be with us in that. God, be with the churches here in this town. Lord, we know no church has the market cornered on God. And Father, we trust right now that You are leading those other congregations, God, that You are speaking through their leadership. And Lord, I just pray that the other churches here will boldly stand on biblical truth and not personal preference. God, we ask that churches will stand firm against sin and, Lord, fight the desires of the flesh. Lord, be with them. Lord, we pray over the 3.2 billion people in this world with no access to the gospel. And Lord, I pray that You will equip us with tools to help in that mission to reach the unreached, God. May it be through our giving. May it be through people who You raise up here, God. I pray that from 242 Church that there are people being sent out to mission across the world, but specifically to that 1040 window where people have no access to the gospel, God. And I pray outside of us, Lord, that You are also equipping and sending people, God. We want to be a part of that mission, God. We want to make Your name great among all of the world. So, God, please be with us in that mission. God, please be with us and move us as only You can. And, God, we thank You for Your faithfulness. God, we thank You that You have kept us thus far. God, we thank You that You have saved us despite ourselves. And, Lord, help us to get out of the way to see You fully, God. Thank You. God, make us a people of prayer. God, move in our hearts. Lord, take away any frustration, animosity. God, remove that from our hearts so that we can focus on You and You alone. God, so that we can move in unity and truth. Father, be with us. And God, as You move, and Lord, as Your name is made great, God, as we declare in this moment that the enemy has no hold on Sandusky because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to You. And God, You have told us to go and make disciples of this world. Father, we are accepting the mission knowing You have authority over this place. So Father, we trust You and declare in Jesus' name that the Sandusky is no longer owned by the enemy, but we're here and we rock with Jesus. And God, we're taking Your name forth. We're making Your name great. God, people are going to hear about You here. So, Father, use us. It's in Jesus' matchless, mighty and majestic name that we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Family, we go in Jesus' name. Again, I know we talked about giving. You can still give for the month of April. You should still be able to give to the sanctuary if that's how your stuff is set up. If you do use checks, just make it to 242 Church. And if you want, you could use online giving. It is probably the most convenient for you. You can set up using your card. You can use ACH if you want, direct deposit, or however you would like to do that. You can do all of that online as well. So please feel free, if you would like to scan that QR code, we can give in that way. And again, giving is between you and the Lord. It's your spiritual worship with just a portion of what He's already given to you. And so just pray about how the Lord will move in you guys to give and how you will worship in that way. All right. But thank you, guys. We love you. We'll see you the next couple weeks. We'll be getting more announcements and stuff like that out to you on how the summer's going to look. So just be on the lookout for that. Next week, we party. All right. So see y'all next week. Yeah.